Let's bring this meeting of post council to session. It is September 26, 2023. We're at the Public Safety and Education and Training Center at 410 West, 9800 South, Sandy, Utah. Welcome, everyone. Obviously, I am not Wade Carpenter. He's recovering from hip surgery, and I think he will be for a while. So he is excused, along with Mayor Walker and Janetta Williams. And with that, we'll go to the first matter that is on the agenda, and Director Rees.
Thank you. Good morning. Well, first, I wanted to formally thank the council for your recommendation for me in this position. I'm really excited to be working on this team with this team to, for the goal of professional policing in Utah. I'm excited and just I feel honored to be part of this team. So thank you. I also wanted to take a moment to thank the team here at Post for all of their support in getting me, welcoming me, and being very supportive, getting things up and rolling. They've been the utmost professionals, and I feel lucky to be leading that team. And specifically, I also wanted to thank Captain Garcia. He has been over backwards helping me and, again, introducing to me the ins and outs and the many challenges here at Post. So thank you, Captain. But, along those lines, we have an announcement that Captain Garcia is going to be taking a position over at DPS headquarters, leaving a vacancy for the deputy director here at Post. Considering the circumstances and all the changes over the last year, and I think it's important that we fill this position quickly. I'm hoping to get the council's blessing, and we've evaluated the circumstances, and I think it's important that we move forward and start making progress on some of our projects. So I'm going to be recommending the promotion of Lieutenant Chris Newland to deputy director. So I hope I have your support in that. And I think you're all very familiar with Lieutenant Newland and his credentials. He's, from everything I can see, he's very well suited for this position. He brings the organizational knowledge that will help me move forward quickly and efficiently. And also, he has excellent experience.
Council, I know Lieutenant Newland is here just about every time we are here, and I think we're all familiar with him, but any questions from anyone?
How do you feel about that position?
Honored but terrified.
I think you have the blessing of the council from what I heard.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you.
Next matter on the agenda is the approval of the June 27, 2023 minutes. Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes.
I have a motion from John Crowley to accept the minutes and a second from Sheriff Sparks. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That passes. Go to quarterly reports. Lieutenant Moore and Lieutenant Newland.
For the quarter of June 1st to August 31st, 2023, investigations received 107 complaints, opened 39 cases, and we conducted one administrative hearing. We closed 5 cases with no action, and we received 3 relinquishments. The first was for dishonest in violation of policy, falsification of a government record, and official misconduct. The second was for sexual conduct on duty. The third was for a fitness for duty issue, intoxication, and possession of a firearm while intoxicated. Background applications, we have reviewed 320 basic training, 29 dispatcher, and 39 waiver reactivation applications. We currently have 110 open investigations, and 101 of those are active. Any questions on those stats? And then we have 2 potential new hires in the process of our background right now. I hope to have at least one of them hired in the next month. Thank you.
Good morning.
Basic training for the quarter, June 1st, August 31st. We started 8 sessions. We have 4 completed, 4 still in session right now. We have 131 that have been trained this quarter with only 7 dismissed, so it's a pretty low attrition rate this quarter. 4 were dismissed for policy violations and 3 for skills deficiencies on physical training and defensive tactics. Combined with the rest of the quarters for this year, we are at 249 for 2023 with 90 enrolled for the remaining sessions for the year, which would put us at a total of 339 cadets trained for the calendar year 2023, which is lower than our record year of last year, but still extremely busy. The new schedule for 2024 has been posted, I believe. We finalized that yesterday. It should be on our website available for at least perusal, if not signups quite yet. For in-service training for this quarter, we offered 33 in-service classes with 529 officers attending, including 17 dispatchers for a total of 492 hours of training. Any questions on basic training? Thank you.
Thank you, Lieutenant Ullen. Next thing is John Jacobs.
Good morning, Council. On with the curriculum, we have had quite a few staff changes, as Poston is in its hierarchy has. Marcus, Mr. Yaki moved to our attorney, so we had an opening position, and so we filled that in the instructional developer position with Chelsea Nielsen. She's here. Say hi to us. She'll be our researcher and curriculum developer. With that, also, Cody Sparks left us. We miss him dearly. So do I hear from a lot of agencies, they let us know, you know, who's going to fill that position. We have that position being filled next week, is going through background. And we still have another position open in my area that is still not going to be filled till November. So with that, with the curriculum update, we've been going through staff changes, and on top of the annual audit, we have not been able to develop any new curriculum this quarter, but we have been able to successfully implement what has been voted on in the past. We've met all legislative mandates that were given by the legislature this last session. We've also implemented courses based on agency feedback on professional communications and increased time in arrest control, active shooter, building clearing. So we've been able to essentially implement the heavy load that we asked you in the increase of 3 days last year. And so that would be, let's see, what else do we have? Yeah, that's all for the curriculum. Do you want me to move to the annual audit?
Please do.
Okay, so in your packet, the first very colorful item that says FY23 annual training audit. So we have conducted our final audit for the year. All the agencies have reported. We had 9,045 officers report to post training. And of that, of those officers, we had 955,876 hours reported. This is not basic training hours. These are hours reported by agencies to post. The average officer, even though the 40 hours was the minimum requirement by statute, the average officer was 105 hours of training. And of that, we had 32 officers that did not meet the standard of 40 hours that we have suspended or currently are in a suspended state. Looking at some of these graphs, these are more just for your information, letting you know the distribution. 79% of the training reported to post was general, which means it was agency specific. The arrest control category that was in the statute, 5%, crisis intervention 6, de-escalation 6, and then special needs, which was our autism, was 2%. Some other interesting statistics: that agencies that had less than 50 officers averaged the most with 110 hours. Those with 50 to 99 officers averaged 105. Those with 149, these are agencies, averaged 116, and then off agencies that were greater than 500 officers averaged 75 hours per training. Looking on page 2, this is just some demographic statistics for you, because at the same time when we audit hours, we also audit employment with the agencies. 43% of our peace officers are at police departments, 27% at sheriff's offices, 26 are with state agencies, and a little over 1% are with other. Other would be fire, animal control, constables, all those other categories. The agency count, 23% of our officers are with agencies less than 50 officers. So 23% of the total population of officers in the state reside at agencies that contain less than 50 officers. And then you can see the as the numbers go through. The agency population, this was another interesting thing. When we think about providing training to small agencies and the need, 139 of our agencies have less than 50 officers. 20 agencies have 50 to 99. And so this kind of shows that there is the bulk of our officers in the state and our agencies are coming from small agencies. Any questions for council on our audit? We'll go to the next item.
Yes.
Okay, this is another one for discussion. We've had some law changes that we're bringing to you as a point of awareness that we're going to start trying to work with agencies to mention. The first page of this agency reporting is the 536209. There was some changes in this last legislative session, but what I would highlight to you is that the agency shall submit a form upon termination submitted within 30 days of which the peace officer employment terminates. And then also if there's an internal investigation, the agency has a requirement to report that within 30 days. And then looking down, even though the officer has been left the agency for up to 2 years, that if there is an internal investigation opens, post also still must be notified within 30 days of that IA, even though the officer is not employed with that agency anymore. So that's the 536209. And then looking on the next page, the 5314102, this was a new part of the law, talks about how a law enforcement agency may not employ a peace officer who is currently working or has previously worked for another law enforcement agency unless the hiring law enforcement agency confirms that the peace officer is certified by post or comparable agency and has completed a background check in accordance with 5314103(3). So given that we have these two laws that apply to the operations of post, looking at our start of employment aging report for the new employment requests, this last year, this is last year's data, of all of the requests, only 238 came before or at the same day of the officer's employment. 42% came within the first 30 days. 228 came within that 1 month to 2 month, and then 105, 3 months to 2 months to 3 months, and then 50, 3 to 4, and then we even had 10% of our reporting happen greater than 120 days. And then at the end of employment, where we know there is a hard deadline for the agencies, only, 59% did report within that 30-day period, which means we had 40% not meet that requirement of reporting to post, and even at 19% over 120 days. This is typically what we felt anecdotally was happening before we looked at the data. When we run these agency audits at the end of the year, we notify agencies that their training is deficient, and then they inform us that that officer left several months ago, if not up to a year ago, and then we reconcile with that agency and have them report. So the actions post is going to take on this, and this is where we seek post council feedback on the best way to inform this is to, we're going to try and get the information out to the agencies that they do have a statutory responsibility to report within 30 days an end of employment, and they have a responsibility to conduct a background check and report to post before the officer is employed and working. Is there any questions on this information? Go ahead.
So the agency has 30 days to report this. What is the process that then happens down here to then get that grammar request back to us for the information? Because I've had it where I've gotten into the system and entered it, and then 2 days later I'm getting a grammar request, and then I've had it where I'm not getting one for a while and have to call down to find out if you guys are getting grammar. So what's the process on this end?
The process on this end is if an agency seeks to employ someone, they submit a grammar request to us for a background check.
I'm separating somebody. Yes.
And then
for a cause.
Okay.
And so I put that in a system. What's the process down here?
In the portal, there's permissions given to the agency to report the end of status. They'll mark that an investigation is requested. That will come to a post technician. They'll screen it. They'll pass it on to investigations, and then investigations will screen it and work there. But the process on the technical side is it's within a couple clicks of our portal. They're able to separate them, and then Lieutenant can answer more on that.
I know which one you're referring to. So if it says separated in any way and investigation requested, I typically get that within a couple days, and then I send a grammar request or have Camille send it to the employing agency. In the case I think you're referring to, the notes said your agency would bring the IA to us, so we didn't send a grandma.
Go ahead and say which case, if you know.
I can't remember.
I've only got one case pending where I have not got a grandma request yet.
And if the notes say that you're going to bring it, every agency is different, so.
Yeah. I've never put a note in there that says that I have had my administrative assistant call down and say, do you want us to deliver it, or what method? And usually we're told it's certified mail, so that's how we've been doing it, certified mail. So.
You could do that. You could bring it here for post council. You could mail it, email me. Whatever works best for you.
I think the process should be that there's always a grandma request, but just for CYA and legal reasons.
Okay.
And then I had an additional question surrounding the language, the statutory language. So it states that the peace officer who is currently working or has previously worked must have a background check and provide documentation they're certified by post. What about new officers? Are agencies not required to do background checks on officers coming straight out of post?
Before a candidate can be hired by an agency, they have to have a thorough background conducted by the agency, and that's outlined in statute.
Okay, so any officer, not just those that are currently working.
And then also before they come to any of our training programs, they're required to go through the application process where our investigators also not conduct as much as a background check as an employee agency was, but they also conduct that. So I believe the reason why they put this in here was because they're trying to, the intent I believe is to make sure that officers that are moving between agencies, and when they say other certified agencies, it means out-of-state officers, that agencies are doing their due diligence and background with officers that are currently employed and moving between agencies.
So the intention of this is that every officer that changes positions or is hired by any agency will have undergo a background check.
But yes.
Yeah. And the way we read the language confirms that the peace officer is certified by post. That is through the agency submits the request in the portal. Our technicians get it. They look for continuing education. They look for certification. They look for any open investigations. And they also look for eligibility based on employment, previous employment. And then at that point, they'll either accept that and enroll them in their agency in the records, or they'll send a rejection notice to the agency saying that they lack training hours or they've been over the 18 months or something like that. So the screening process for post to ensure that an officer is eligible happens at that request for certification from post or that employment request. And that's what we're seeing is happening months after the fact of the officer already on the road functioning as an officer or in some type of pre-service training already.
Just to add to that, if an agency is the one sponsoring that cadet through post, the background's already been done. If it's a self-sponsored person, then it's after.
And just to clarify, so 5314102 is background checks for peace officer applicants, and then we have 5314103 that talks about applicants to the academy. So there's a whole separate section that covers. It's actually a lot more extensive. You have to contact previous employers and all this stuff. So it's a lot more extensive on the applicants versus a continuing officer.
Any other questions on this? Once again, we're just in the stages of once we pulled this data, realize that, you know, this is the way the data looks. We're going to be asking for the Chiefs and Sheriffs Association to help get the word out to the agencies. We're going to start letting agencies know that we do have a time frame that this has to happen in, and we're going to be proactive in this issue.
Thank you, Mr. Jacobs. Okay, we'll move on to disciplinary cases. Mr. Yockey, the first case is Cassie Boyd. Is Cassie Boyd and or her counsel present?
Okay.
Mr. Yockey.
First matter is the certification of Cassie Boyd. She was unemployed at the time of the event. She has 1 year and 8 months of service. The offenses that we're looking at, substantiated offenses on our side, is child abuse slash neglect. We actually have 3 counts on that, and then failure to report child abuse, 2 counts. This falls under category C and E of the post-disciplinary guidelines. The guideline baseline for C is 24 months. The range is from 9 months to 42 months, and we're going for the highest end for 42 months, and the reason being is because we have those multiple offenses, those 5 offenses there. This came to us by way of default, and the summary of the facts are as follows. Cassie Boyd, an unemployed post-certified corrections officer, was investigated by DCFS and a local police agency for several acts of child abuse and failing to report child abuse. The abuse and neglect included forcing her daughter to stay awake as a form of punishment, hitting her daughter and stepchildren with a horse with horse whips, and allowing her daughter to be shot with a paintball gun by her stepfather. Boyd later pled guilty to 3 counts of child abuse and 2 counts of failing to report child abuse in criminal court. And that's the summary of the facts. Any questions?
No questions from anyone on the council. Do we have a motion?
Motion to accept.
Second.
We have a motion to accept by Colonel Rakich. We have a second from Molina Stevens. Any discussion?
I'd like to offer an alternate motion.
We have an alternative motion coming from
Chief Sparks. Do not accept the recommendation that the issue a 4-year suspension under these circumstances so that it at least at that point, if the individual tries to get back into law enforcement, there would be an additional background investigation and need to go back through the academy for additional training. So I would offer a substitute motion for a 4-year suspension.
I'll second
you
that.
You accept that, Colonel Rakich?
Yes.
And second?
Yes.
From Elena Stevens. Any discussion on the substitute motion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the substitute motion for a 4-year suspension, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Passes.
The next matter before the council is the certification of Dale Christensen.
Is Dale Christensen and or his counsel present?
Mr. Christensen was formerly employed with the San Pete County Sheriff's Office with 35 years of service. Substantiated offense is knowingly engaged in dishonest conduct in violation of a department policy. This falls under category E of the post-disciplinary guidelines, which is a 6-month baseline. The range is from letter of caution up to 18 months, and post is recommending 6 months. He retired, date of separation is what we have there, and we have an adjudication, he waived, so it comes to us by way of waiver. Summary of the facts are as follows. Dale Christensen was investigated by his agency for being dishonest in violation of department policy. The investigation disclosed that on March 4th, 2022, a GPS device was delivered to his agency on March 9th, 2022. It was discovered that the device was missing. Christensen was questioned if he knew the whereabouts of the device, and Christensen told investigator that he did not know. On March 10th, 2022, Christensen brought the device to the investigator and stated he found it in the maintenance closet. Christensen told the investigator he could not sleep and came to work at 2 a.m. and searched for the device. The surveillance video and key card access do not show Christensen entering into the facility or outside of the facility until approximately 7 a.m. on March 10, 2022. Video surveillance also shows Christensen carrying a box under his arm as he enters into the stairwell at 7 a.m. Christensen retired from the San Pete County Sheriff's Office and no criminal charges were filed. During an interview with his agency in which Garrity was not read to Christensen, Christensen claimed he could not sleep and came to the office around 2 a.m. to search for the device. He said it was located in a maintenance closet, but again, he did not participate in a Garrity interview with Post or his agency. Any questions for myself?
Mr. Mr. Christensen, our counsel. Counsel, would you?
Yeah, Nate Nelson for Dale Christensen. We appreciate the post counsel. As you can see, my client has a long history in law enforcement and has served it well. At this point in time, he's asking that you guys follow the recommendation of post with respect to the six-month suspension.
Any questions for Mr. Christensen? Hearing none, do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion to file a post recommendation for a six-month suspension.
We have a motion from Sheriff Curtis to follow the recommendation of post counsel. Is there a second? Second from Sheriff Sparks. Any discussion regarding the motion?
Just to clarify, this would begin on his retirement date on 5/12/22, the six-month suspension. I believe that's how we've typically done it.
Mr. Jorgensen, was it
when he retired?
Yeah.
It's from the date that he's
separated from the agency.
It should be what,
5/12/22.
So it's effectively done as soon as we vote on it?
Yes. I just wanted to make sure we were aware of that.
Everybody aware of that?
I have a question. I'm sorry. It's a little bit late, but
Chief Swanson,
can't get it out of my head. Maybe I can't ask this question because it was an investigation. So, but I'm curious as to why we didn't participate in the investigation, because I'm curious as to what happened to the GPS unit. But maybe I'm not allowed to ask that question.
So the GPS device was found. They do have it. It is returned to the agency. So,
any other questions? Okay, the motion before the council is to accept the post recommendation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? So passes. Next case is Ricky Giles. Is Mr. Giles and or his counsel present?
The next matter is for Ricky Giles, unemployed, 6 years of service. Substantiated offense is child abuse, discharge of a firearm, intoxication, and disorderly conduct. This falls under category E and F of the post-disciplinary guidelines. The guideline baseline is 6 months with a range of letter of caution to 18 months, and post is recommending 12 months, upward deviating because of the multiple offenses that we have. This comes to us by way of default. And the summary of the facts are as follows.
A local police agency responded to a call of shots being fired in the area of a social club. The investigation later identified Ricky Giles as the suspect in the shots fired incident, as well as being the suspect in a physical altercation event with a minor that happened at the social club. During the investigation, evidence was found that Giles fired several shots from a handgun in an isolated industrial area as a passenger in a vehicle. He also drank alcoholic beverages to the point that witnesses believed he was intoxicated and injured a minor during a separate physical altercation. Giles did not make a statement during the criminal investigation. Giles was charged in a local court and later accepted a plea agreement. He pled guilty to the discharge of a firearm. Child abuse is a Class C misdemeanor, intoxication, and disorderly conduct. Giles did not participate in the Garrity interview and refused to cooperate with post-investigation.
Any questions for Mr. Yockey? Seeing none, do we have a motion?
I move we accept the post-recommendation for 1 year suspension.
We have a motion from Melina Stevens to accept post-recommendation. We have a second from Dr. Sweeney. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? So passes.
The next matter before the council is Michael Henley.
Is Mr. Henley and or his counsel present? Go
ahead. Mr. Henley was previously employed with the Uinta County Sheriff's Office. He was employed as an officer for 6 years. The substantiated allegation or offense is intoxication, which falls under category F of the post-disciplinary guidelines. The baseline for that category is 3 months, ranging from letter of caution to 12 months, and post is recommending 3 months. In this matter, he resigned on 8/10/22, and it comes to us by way of default. A summary of the facts are as follows.
Michael Henley was investigated by a local police agency for disorderly conduct and intoxication. The investigation disclosed that on February 25th, 2022, Henley went to a local bar with his wife and friends. While at the bar, Henley became intoxicated and went home, where he got in an argument with his wife. Henley left the home and walked to a co-worker's house who lived close by and then returned home. The co-worker went to Henley's home and found him arguing with his wife. The co-worker convinced Henley to sleep the night in the camp in his camp trailer. The co-worker reported the incident to a supervisor and who asked the local police agency to investigate. Henley entered into a guilty plea to the charge of intoxication. During the Gary interview with Uinta County Sheriff's Office and Post, Henley stated he did not remember most of the events from that night. He said he did not remember the events, the amount of alcohol he consumed that night, and not because it was so long ago. Henley admitted he was extremely intoxicated, and it may have been the most he has ever been intoxicated.
Any questions from the council? Once again, this is another one that if we give him the 3 months, it's over as soon as we vote on it.
Was there not a breathalyzer test on him during the process? No.
No.
Any other questions from the council? Seeing none, do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion to accept post recommendation.
We have a motion from John Crowley to accept post recommendation. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a second from Colonel Ravitch. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor of accepting post recommendation say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes.
The
Jace
next matter.
Hutchings? Oh. Jace Hutchings. Is Jace Hutchings and or counsel present? Proceed, Mr. Yelke.
The matter of Jace Hutchings, formerly employed with the St. George Police Department, with 15 years of service. Substantiated offenses are knowingly engaged in dishonest conduct in violation of a department policy. This falls under Category E of the post-disciplinary guidelines, with a 6 month baseline. Ranges from letter of caution up to 18 months, and we are going for letter of caution. And the reason for the downward deviation from the 6 months is, in this matter, he was the victim of the domestic violence when he reported it. So he did separate. He did receive a letter of reprimand from his agency and was separated on 9/8 of 2023. This comes to us by way of waiver. After an argument with his wife, Jace Hutchings, submitted an online report saying he damaged property in his home, saying she damaged property in the home. In the report, Hutchings listed himself as a victim, but said he did not want to press charges. When contacted about the report, Hutchings told the criminal investigator he was testing the online report system and he did not intend to send the report. During Garrity interviews with his agency and Post, Hutchings admitted that he lied to the investigator. His agency substantiated that Hutchings knowingly violated their policy regarding dishonest conduct. Just for notation, he did previously receive a letter of caution from the Post Council in 2020 for a wildlife violation.
Any questions for Mr. Yockey?
And we do have, his counsel is here.
Okay.
Jeremy Jones appearing on behalf of Jace Hutchings. He wasn't able to make the drive up today. He asked me to appear. I appreciate the factual recitation by Marcus. The only thing I would note is that in the notice of agency action, his initial report for his wife, he noted that he did not want her charged. That had an aspect relative to what he ended up saying later, which he acknowledges was a mistake for him to take that approach, but he was making a difficult decision in the circumstances that was confronting his family. So he'd ask the council to accept the recommendation. I can try to answer any questions that you might have. Thank you.
Any questions for Mr. Jones? Hearing none.
Can we accept post-recommendation for a letter of caution?
We have a motion from Chief Swanson to accept post-recommendation. Do we have a second? We have a second from Sheriff Wimmer. Is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Passes.
Thank you, everybody.
Next case is Michael Martinez. Is Mr. Martinez and or his counsel present? Seeing no one, Mr. Yockey.
Case of Michael Martinez, formerly employed with the Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office with 1 year of service. Substantiated offense is forgery. We actually have two counts of a felony. This falls under Category A of the post-disciplinary guidelines. The baseline is revocation, and the range is from 36 months to revocation. In this matter, we are going for revocation. He was terminated back in 2022, and this comes to us by way of default. Summary of the facts are as follows. Michael Martinez submitted several documents to his employing agency to receive military leave. When the documents were reviewed, the documents appeared to have been altered from the original orders. During a Garrity interview with his agency, Martinez admitted to altering the orders to receive additional military leave. Martinez did not participate in the criminal investigation. Martinez was charged and pled guilty to two counts of felony forgery in court as part of the plea agreement. Martinez did not cooperate with POST in our investigation and also did not participate in the agency's. And that's what we have.
Any questions from the council? Seeing none, do we have a motion?
Motion to accept recommendation of the agency.
We have a motion from Colonel Ravitch to accept the post recommendation. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second from Sheriff Wimmer. Any discussion on the motion? All those in favor of post recommendation of revocation, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes. Next case is Jason Miles. Is Jason Miles and or his counsel present?
And just for informational purposes, we do have at the very back, we do have a letter from Sheriff Nathan Curtis on this matter.
Record should indicate that Sheriff Curtis is recusing himself.
This is the matter of Jason Miles. He is currently employed with the severe... currently employed, right? Okay. I just wanted to make sure I was correct. Currently employed with the Sevier County Sheriff's Office. He has 11 years of service here in Utah. I believe he has 5 years of service in another state. Substantiated offense is unlawful sale, offer for sale, or furnishing alcohol to a minor. This, and I'm not sure why I have two. It should be Category B, and I apologize for that. I went over this multiple times and I did not see that. So it is Category B. That the guideline, the baseline is correct. So I just missed category. Yeah, it's a waiver. Oh man, I missed that twice. Okay, it helps to go over it multiple times. It did come to us by way of waiver, not by default, just for clarification. But it is Category B. The guideline baseline is correct. The range is correct, and our recommendation is correct. So we are going for 3.5. His agency action is 1 day unpaid. The summary of the facts are as follows. Jason Miles reported himself to the Sevier County Sheriff's Office administrators that he knowingly provided alcohol to his daughter, who was approximately 16 years of age, and her boyfriend, who was approximately 14 years of age at the time of the event. Miles was issued a 1 day unpaid suspension by the Sevier County Sheriff's Office, and his case was referred to POST. Miles participated in a Garrity interview with POST and admitted to the same conduct. And I apologize for the errors on the.
Has everyone had an opportunity to read the letter at the end of the file? Do we need to take a minute? Looks like everyone has. Any questions for the council, from the council?
Mr. Yockey, not?
I have one. Sorry. What are the effects of the drug ketamine?
You're getting into a lot of medical diagnosis that I don't know if I have the expertise on that.
Should we be in?
Not on the effects of the medication and disclosed it in your public.
Okay.
He wants to talk about
that. Yeah, fortunately, I'm not a medical expert.
That taken into consideration then when all of this was investigated?
It was, and I know on the Sevier County
Sheriff's Office side, that was taken into effect, and that's why he received the punishment he did from that agency. On our side, that's why we went with the 3.5. So we
We did elevate it because it was two juveniles, multiple incidents, but we did take that into consideration.
Any other questions for Mr. Yockey? Colonel?
Maybe you already covered this and I missed it. As far as criminal charges, were criminal charges filed and what was the resolution?
No, they were not.
I can answer that if you want me to.
Go ahead.
We, in interviewing with the parents of the boyfriend, the parents declined to press charges, and then also the county attorney declined as well.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Any other questions for Mr. Yockey? Deputy Miles, you want to make a statement?
Yes, please. So in the fall of 2021, I made a poor choice about my daughter and her boyfriend's alcohol consumption, and I feel deeply remorseful for that decision. I would like to formally apologize to my sheriff and my co-workers in the sheriff's office and my brothers and sisters in law enforcement, and also to my family. I love the work I do, and I had a spotless service record prior to this. I know that I deserve a penalty and need to make amends for that decision. I'm deeply sorry for my mistake. Any leniency will be greatly appreciated but not expected, and I will accept whatever consequences you deem necessary. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, sir. Any questions for Deputy Miles? Here.
I'd like to make a motion, considering all the facts of this case and the letter from the sheriff, that we reject post recommendation and instead go to the lower end of the disciplinary guidelines and issue an 18-month suspension.
So we have a motion from Sheriff Sparks to reject the post recommendation and go with 18 months suspension. Do we have a second?
I'll second that. Second.
Chief Swanson on second. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the substitute motion for 18 months suspension say aye.
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 Any opposed? 18 month suspension it is. The next matter is Isaac Moa. Is Isaac Moa and or his counsel present? Mr. Yockey?
This is the matter of Isaac Moa. Formerly with the Orem Police Department, about a half year of service, the substantiated offenses are knowingly engaged in dishonest conduct in violation of department policy and falsification of government records. This falls under category D and E of the post-disciplinary guidelines. The baseline is 24 months, ranging from 3 months to 30 months, and post recommends 15 months. Agency action, he was terminated on, and the date of separation is 5/26 of 22. This comes to us by way of waiver. And the reason we're going up to 15 months is we do have a self-report. Post wouldn't have been aware of this incident without the self-report. So we don't go for the full extent. We generally would go up 6 months instead of just 3 months, but we do have multiple violations, and so that's why we're going. Summary of the facts are as follows. Isaac Moa submitted a report that contained false statements regarding why he did not promptly submit a police report. When his employing agency inquired about the late report, Moa said he was waiting for information from the victim to refer the case to investigators. Moa also told an administrator that he did not collect the victim's clothing for evidence because the victim wanted to wear them when she left the hospital and did not collect them, did not let him collect the clothing. His body camera footage showed these statements were not truthful. During a Garrity interview with Post and an interview with his agency, Moa admitted that both statements were false.
Chief Swanson?
Falsification of a government record is a crime. It's a class B misdemeanor. Was this screened? Were the charges or potential charges taken into consideration by Post during the investigation?
There was no criminal investigation conducted by Warren PD or an outside agency. But we take it into consideration. The falsification is one of our charges, and we did push on it.
Okay.
So that's why we have the two charges, and that's...
We did the year for the falsification, and then the knowing and dishonest, we added the three additional months. But we have a self-report there. That's why we didn't go with the full 6 months.
His original summary did match up with his...
Correct. So it's falsification on the report, and then we have a dishonest statement when he's being asked about it by his agency. So that's why we have two charges.
Any other questions for Mr. Yockey? Seeing none, we'll entertain a motion. And once again, this is one, if I did my math correctly, if it goes 15 months, it'll be done when we vote on it today, if it goes for 15 months. So do we have a motion?
Motion to accept the recommendation.
We have a motion from Colonel Ravitch to accept post-recommendation of 15-month suspension. Is there a second? We have a second from Dr. Sweeney. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all of those in favor of a 15-month suspension, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
Next matter is Ryan Shosted. Is Ryan Shosted and or his counsel present?
I was not involved in this, so I'm going to be turning the time over to David Morris Putzer.
Thank you.
Counsel? With respect to the matter of Ryan Shosted, Commander Shosted was a commander with the Riverton Police Department who served for 22 years. Following a hearing before an administrative law judge, the ALJ found that Commander Shosted violated Utah Code Annotated 77726, which is a Class B misdemeanor for canceling or soliciting the cancellation of a traffic citation without the consent of a magistrate, which is a post violation of 211.1c. The facts, as found by the administrative law judge, were that on March 30th, 2022, Commander Shosted directed an RPD records employee to electronically change a traffic citation to a warning ticket, and therefore remove the requirement that the cited party is required to appear before the magistrate. Commander Shosted resigned from his agency on December 15th of 2022. Because this was a Class B misdemeanor, it's a Category E violation, which has a guideline range of a letter of caution to 18 months. The baseline for that is a six-month suspension. Post is recommending a six-month suspension as well. I'm open to any questions, and obviously Mr. Shosted and his counsel are here.
Start.
Resigned. Did he resign or did he retire?
I'm a little nervous up here. I'm not used to speaking in front of this prestigious of a group. So if I stutter a little bit, give me a little bit of a moment, please. I retired, just to answer your question directly. First of all, I'd like to make a quick statement. I'll try not to be too long. First of all, I want to thank you members of the council for your service to Post and what you do at these hearings. I know it's a hard thing to do, having done it myself throughout my career. So it is important, so thank you. And regardless of if this goes how I want it to go, I'll still have a deep and profound respect for each and every one of you. That being said, I just wanted to make it clear. This is something that I have been straight, honest, and forthcoming about from the very beginning. There was no secrets, there was no hiding. This was a procedural event that happened with me, the chief of Riverton at the time, and with the officer. And although that's in contest from the officer's standpoint, but it was an administrative thing where there was a behavioral issue, a professional issue that harmed the reputation of police, the reputation of the city, and the actions that I took, while procedurally wrong, were based, I guess, in a noble context, if you will, at least from my standpoint, but maybe everybody says that when they're standing up here. Honestly, once this issue was brought to my attention about the citation being revoked, not going through a magistrate, I was shocked. This is something that I've done, that I've seen done, at every police department I've ever worked for, which is three of them throughout a 22-year career. In fact, I spoke with other chiefs at other agencies, and they too were a little bit shocked that this was an issue. They thought that they had an executive ability to change that, which is, I have found to be untrue. Fortunately for that, I think this hearing has probably changed their procedure as well. After this was brought to my attention, I had to change procedure at the Riverton Police Department. I literally sat there one day and an officer came up and wanted to change a citation, and we had to make a point to stop the record supervisor and say, this now has to go to the prosecutor. And quite honestly, I believe if this went to the prosecutor, he would have followed my direction and request regardless. And the request ultimately came from the chief of police It was a reasonable decision. I didn't question it. It made sense. When an officer is unprofessional and damages the reputation of police, and we have an opportunity to correct that, I think it should be done. If I had to do it again, I would do it a little bit differently. I would notify the prosecutor and involve the correct magistrate that needs to be involved. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be put in that position again because I did retire in December. It wasn't because of this. I was actually already to basically a point in my career where I was ready to move on and have done so. So I'm happy to say there is life after retirement for any of you who are thinking about it. By the stars that I see on everybody's name badge, I don't think that's going to happen. The last thing or two I want to say is that 22 and a half years, I've never stood before this council. I've never had an investigated complaint. I've made hundreds, if not thousands, of arrests. I've counseled officers through tough times. I've performed IAs myself. This was a procedural error and a mistake on my part. And I'll own that. If I could go back and change my words, I would. But it wasn't adequate quid pro. There was no handshake deal. Heck, I didn't even talk to the complainant about the citation. I was an intermediary. So if I guess I leave you with one metaphor today, don't kill the messenger. maybe I should. And ultimately, this is a matter of principle for me. My 6 months is already up, if that's, you know, the recommendation, what they go for. Right now, respectfully, I'm asking each of you for a letter of caution. I think that sets the tone for the council and also sets an example for other chiefs of police and administrators to make good judgment and do what they need to do to ensure their city has respectful, honest, and diligent officers. Thank you for your time. Sorry if I was a little long-winded.
I would just add that with respect to the intent here,
it was that the responding officer was rude in the way that he handled the stop, and so the intent was to deal with that. It wasn't to, you know, brush something under the rug or hide a ticket or do something like that. It was to protect the reputation of the city. This was in consultation with the chief. And based on everything else that Mr. Shostak had said, we're requesting the letter of caution.
Could you state your name for the record, please,
Nate,
on this?
Nate Nelson.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Chief?
It's kind of a technical question, really, because so this all came about because you ordered a clerk to do this, right? But then you also just said that the chief told you to do it. So was the chief ever looked at in this process by post? Was that ever taken into consideration? Does the clerk think it punished, nor should she, because she's following your orders? But it sounds like you were following orders from your chief, or unless I misheard that.
I will say that it was a discussion that he and I had and agreed upon. You could say it was both of our decisions, but you know, I'm not here to say that. But ultimately, yeah, it was an executive decision by both of us. I don't know what else is done. He too has since taken his retirement.
And I think that the
police chief would say that he wasn't clear on how it was going to be addressed, right? So as far as he was aware, it was going to be done through the magistrate or a prosecutor. I guess there was some ambiguity based on that conversation about how it would happen, and that's, I think, why he hasn't been investigated.
So was he talked to or questioned? Sounds like it.
Yeah, he was as part of the investigation.
Okay.
To answer a little bit on that,
yes, I believe that the chief
was interviewed as part of the investigation. One point that's worth clarifying here is Post didn't conduct the investigation. This was conflicted out because members of Post may have been witnesses to some of the underlying events that were related to the actions that happened here, not the direct ones, but peripherally, so out of caution, this was investigated by Captain Tim Scott of the Ogden Police Department. And so I do believe he interviewed the chief.
Thank you. Any other questions from counsel? Hearing none.
I was going to make a motion. In light of the circumstances, and in light of a 22-year career without any other discipline, I would recommend that Post consider a letter of counsel.
Is that a motion?
Yes.
We have a motion from Chief
Swanson for a letter of caution. Is there a second?
We have a second from Sheriff Curtis.
Is there any discussion on that motion? Hearing none, all those in favor of
a letter of caution, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
So be it. Thank you.
Next matter is Madison Cisco. Mr. Cisco and or counsel present? Mr. Yaki?
This is a certification of Madison Cisco, formerly employed with the Salt Lake City Police Department. 4 years of service. Substantiated allegation is knowingly engaged in dishonest conduct in violation of department policy. This falls under category E of the post-disciplinary guidelines, which is generally a six-month baseline, ranging from a letter of caution up to 18 months, and we are recommending 9 months. And the reason we're recommending 9 months deviating upward, we had this, the counter event, if you recall, the last post-council where it was the FTO trainee. This is the other, this is the FTO. So in a position of authority, and that's why we bumped it up. She was terminated on 9/15 of 22, and this comes to us by way of default. Summary of the facts are as follows. Madison Cisco was investigated by her agency for involvement in falsification of a government record and an issue involving dishonesty. The investigation disclosed that following the response to the report of a stolen vehicle, her trainee submitted an initial report stating he and Cisco found paraphernalia in a vehicle. The trainee wrote in the narrative for the report that he had booked the evidence. However, the trainee failed to collect and book the evidence. When questioned about the inconsistency between the report and the absence of the evidence, the trainee sent a message to the supervisor, to his supervisor, claiming he booked the drug paraphernalia into evidence. During the administrative investigation, her trainee admitted he sent the message and included the false information in the report. The trainee also said Cisco instructed him to send the message and alter the report. Cisco admitted she instructed her trainee to send the false information and put the false information into the report. She also stated that she expected the trainee to follow her instructions. The findings of SLCPD's administrative investigation found Cisco knowingly violated the department's policy regarding dishonesty. Cisco's employment with SLCPD was later terminated. The case was not criminally investigated, and the findings of post-investigation showed by clear and convincing evidence that Cisco conspired to falsify a government record or to knowingly engage in dishonest conduct in violation of SLCPD's policy.
Thank you. Any questions from the council for Mr. Yaki? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to accept post recommendation.
We have a motion from Sheriff Sparks to accept post recommendation. Is there a second?
Second.
Second from Miley Liu. Is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
I would just note that her suspension would be up. I think everybody recognizes
it's over immediately. Correct. All right, next matter is Riley Smith. Is Riley Smith and or counsel present?
This is the certification of Riley Smith, formerly employed with the Department of Corrections with 10 and a half years of service. Substantiated offense is possession or use of a controlled substance, which falls under category D of the post-disciplinary guidelines. The baseline for that category is 24 months. And the range is 3 months to 30 months, and we are recommending 18 months. And the reason for the upward, I have those flips. Oh, yeah, we are going for 18 months. So I believe the baseline on that one is incorrect, and I apologize for my error on that. But 18 months, we are going up, and the reason for That is because of repetitive behavior, as will be described in the facts. Riley Smith was investigated for use and possession of a controlled substance. The investigation was the result of Smith applying for outside employment and disclosing the incidents on a personal history questionnaire. During a Garrity interview with Smith's employing agency and with Post, Smith disclosed that he knowingly used marijuana while as an officer in 2013 and also possessed marijuana in December of 2020. And those are a quick summary of the facts.
Any questions for Mr. Yockey from the council?
Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to accept.
We have a motion from John Crowley to accept the post recommendation of 18 months. Is there a second?
Okay.
And then a second from Sheriff Curtis. Any discussion on the motion?
I need to be recused on this.
The record should show that Spencer Turley will be recused on this matter. Any further discussion? All those in favor of an 18-month suspension, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
Next matter is Alex Thompson. Is Alex Thompson and or his counsel present?
The next, this is the matter of the certification of Alex Thompson, formerly employed with the Roosevelt Police Department. Has 13 years of service, and the sustained allegation is falsification of a government record and a BCI violation. These fall under category D and E of the post-disciplinary guidelines for a 12-month baseline, range of 3 months to 30 months, and post is recommending 12 months. And the reason we came to that instead of where we have multiple offenses, we do have a counter-mitigating circumstance of the fact that he was not properly compensated by his department for the time that he entered in. He was terminated by his agency on 9/28/22, and this comes to us by way of a waiver. A summary of the facts are as follows. Alex Thompson was investigated by his agency and local police agency for falsification of a government record and a BCI violation. The investigation disclosed that between March 2022 and August 2022, there were 10 time cards submitted to our Roosevelt City Police Department, where Thompson claimed that he was working for Roosevelt and claimed work time with the task force. Thompson claimed a total of 36 hours that overlapped. Thompson was not compensated for his canine training and would use his canine hours to obtain the required hours for Roosevelt City Police Department. Thompson said his mistake was that he was not good at documentation. Thompson also had access to the driver's license. Regarding the BCI violation, Thompson had also accessed the driver's license of two individuals that he did not have law enforcement involvement with, Roosevelt City, sustained policy violations for both allegations, no criminal charges were filed, and Thompson was terminated. During the Garrity interview with Post, Thompson made statements that were consistent with the criminal investigation. Thompson said he did not do a great job of keeping track of the exact times he'd worked. Thompson said he accessed the driver's license of his girlfriend's ex-husband to see a picture of him. Thompson did not have a reason for accessing his girlfriend's driver's license.
Any questions for Mr. Yockey?
I have a question. So with between the two offenses, with the D, the baseline is 1 year, and E, the baseline is 6 months. So you're stating that Post is downward deviating the category D offense?
So we're just sitting, we're just going to be sitting at the 12 months. And the reason, so we would generally aggravate up because we have the multiple offenses. But in this case, we did consider the fact that Roosevelt was not compensating him for the time in which he was listing. It is still a falsification issue. So he did not correctly report his time on the time card, but his agency was not compensating for that. So that's why we stayed even at the 12 months.
Regarding the BCI violation, whereas looking up without reason, looking up his girlfriend's ex-husband, is that then included in the 12 months instead of the additional 6 months?
Yeah, so that is, yeah, that's included in the 12 months. Both offenses were included in that 12 months.
Any other questions from the council for Mr. Yockey? Mr. Nelson?
Ma'ams and sirs, I'd like to thank you for your time and apologize for my presence here. I'd also like to thank the investigators for their time as well. The situation is kind of muddled. in the way of some of this. Mr. Nielsen said some context might help. In the way of the time cards, I was working three responsibilities. In the way of patrol, I was working on the UN Base Narcotic Strike Force, and then we were also starting a canine program, and I was training a canine. Due to budget and personnel issues, we ultimately chose to train the canine in-house under the direction of a post-certified trainer who oversaw one of the other officers I worked with, who is currently a canine handler who was getting ready to go through or finish training, however all that worked. Anyway, it ended up being a lot on my plate, keeping track of the three different documents were just that, three different documents turned into three different places at three different times. There were times on duty I would be asked to go take drug and narcotic cases, and likewise, we trained dogs when we were able to, on and off the clock, and it was just kind of a constant on and off of the hat. And so we were obviously asked that and told that while they couldn't prevent us from putting the overtime down, they were grateful if we didn't, because that was part of the reason that I didn't attend the post-canine program like we originally would have wanted. Everything after that was just poor documentation on my part, and all I can do is sincerely apologize for that and assure you that after the last year that I will be the most thorough guy you've ever seen. And then as far as the BCI, poor choice on my part. She had gotten out of a pretty bad domestic situation previous to meeting me, and him and his family had created some issues and whatnot, and all I can say is it was a very bad lapse in judgment again, one that will not ever happen again.
Nate Nelson on behalf of Alex. So the context that I was trying to give is in reference to the dog program and how he wasn't being properly compensated, as that is the mitigating factor for the post council's consideration. Based on all of that, we're asking the post council to follow the recommendation of post.
Any questions from council? I'll entertain a motion. Once again, this is one that if we follow the post recommendation in 2 days from now, it'll be gone. It's over with.
I move that we accept the post recommendation for a 1-year suspension.
We have a motion from Elena Stevens to accept the 1-year post recommendation. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second from Chief Swanson. Is there any discussion on the motion? All those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you.
Thank you.
The next matter, and I know I'm going to absolutely, I have no idea how to pronounce this, Tua Hetova?
Tanila Tua Hetova.
I'll accept it.
Okay. Thank you.
Go ahead.
This is the matter of Tanila Tua Hetova, unemployed. We did have a previous matter on this one, which we'll quickly talk about. 1 year of service. Substantiated allegations include assault of a pregnant person, domestic violence in the presence of a child, and interruption of a communication device. This falls under categories A and C of the post-disciplinary guidelines. The baseline is revocation with a 36-month revocation range, and we are seeking revocation based on the multiple offenses, the previous post-suspension, and just the seriousness of the offenses. This comes to us by way of default. A summary of the facts are as follows. On January 4th, 2023, Tanila Tuahetdaufa was investigated for domestic violence related to aggravated assault, child abuse, and interruption of communication device that occurred the previous day. As a result of the investigation, Tuahetdaufa was booked into the county jail. Charges were filed by the district attorney for aggravated assault, assault of a pregnant person, 2 counts of domestic violence in the presence of a child, and interruption of a communication device. On May 18th, 2023, Tuahet Daufa pled guilty to aggravated assault, a Class A misdemeanor, and assault of a pregnant person, a third-degree felony.
Any questions from the council? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to accept.
Three of them. I'll take the closest one to me. We have a motion from Colonel Rappich to accept the recommendation of host council for a revocation. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second from Olivia Stevens. Is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all of those in favor of the revocation, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
Next matter and the last matter is Jordan Watson. Is Jordan Watson and or counsel present?
This is the matter of the certification of Jordan Watson, unemployed with 0 years of service, so a brand new officer. The substantiated offense is willful falsification of information to obtain certification, which falls under Category C of the post-disciplinary guidelines. The baseline is 24 months. It ranges from 9 months to 42 months, but we are going for 24 months just for the offense. This comes to us by way of waiver. And the facts are as follows. Jordan Watson was investigated by Post for willfully falsifying information to obtain certification. The investigation disclosed that on May 24, 2022, Watson applied to attend basic training at a satellite academy. On December 12, 2022, Watson completed basic training and was awarded his law enforcement officer certification. Watson applied to work for a local agency and participated in a polygraph examination as part of the background investigation. During that polygraph, Watson admitted to the local agency that he had falsified his time card in a previous employment. Watson did not document that false time card issue on his post application. During a Garrity interview with Post, Watson admitted to falsifying his time card at the previous place of employment. He said he lied to the local agency and during our interview, he actually said he lied to the other agency, the employing agency, when he said that he was paid for 20 hours that he did not work. Watson later said he minimized the hours he claimed when he was paid for but did not work, saying it was closer to 60 hours. Watson said he intentionally left the information off his post application because he was afraid it would prevent him from being hired.
Questions from council? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
I move we accept the post recommendation for 2-year suspension.
We have a motion from Melinda Stevens to accept post recommendation of a 2-year suspension. Is there a second? There's a second from Sheriff Curtis. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor of a 2-year suspension say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you, Mr. Yockey.
Thank you.